Whether I'm worried about hosting or just giving that perfect gift, creating a delicious holiday for my loved ones is super important to me. From effortless holiday hostings to unforgettable gifts, Omaha Steaks delivers the world's best steak experience. They've always been super convenient in giving me the most high-quality steaks I could ask for, whether for myself or a loved one. Omaha Steaks offers unrivaled quality and variety, and every bite is backed by their 100% guarantee. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com, and for an extra $35 off, use code YUM at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, promo code YUM. Go to omahasteaks.com and use code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply. See site for details. A big thanks to our advertiser, Omaha Steaks.
So a couple weeks ago, I sent two of my paintings, like pictures of two of my paintings, over to the Orlando Museum of Art just for fun, to see if, you know, they want
for funsies.
To see if they want to, like, select the boy. They want to hold some of my pieces, and they accepted it.
Yes, sir, they did.
It's crazy. I mean, like, 9 months ago, I was just painting in my sister's room at night, just not knowing how to do anything. And I mean, nothing's changed. I still don't know what I'm doing, but I think I have a good way of explaining why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I guess people at the museum like it. So if there's anybody from Orlando listening to this, September 2nd, 2021, 6 p.m., Orlando Museum of Art, come say what's up. I haven't even posted about it yet, so the podcast listeners get the exclusive first.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm not even surprised that he got this. It was bound to happen, even though he just started recently.
Why are you lying?
I knew his work was gonna, you know, be on the big screen one day.
Big screen.
The mini big screen. And even I started painting like so freaking long ago. I'm like an artist, you know, and I still don't even have that status.
Right, but so, you've made so two murals. You realize, like, nobody, like, the last thing anybody would do is hire me to make a mural. Like,
but you're going to be in a museum, so I'm proud of you.
All right, whatever. We got a podcast to do.
Welcome back to Difficult Dish, a podcast that talks about different South Asian narratives. My name is Mahua.
And my name is Moshnun. And today, the topic is going to be kind of just talking about what our parents did growing up and how it influenced the work ethic we have today, and just talking about how important it is to start working early in general. I think the both of us started working early from an early age, and we both had people around us who were not working from an early age, and like the differences are pretty evident, you know.
So, yeah, and I think South Asians are kind of expected to work really hard just because of all the sacrifices that their parents went through. So we kind of just, you know, want to talk about that, talk about why we are the way that we are, and, you know, go in depth.
I mean, like, you probably know more about this than me, but, like, is it normal for parents to want their kids to, like, work part-time jobs from like the age of like 16, or is it just like they want them to focus on school? Because like I didn't have like brown people like that around me to really see, to have like have anybody to compare myself to like that. I just like knew what happened in my life. But I mean,
I think honestly, from what I've seen, parents, especially people coming from another country, coming to the Americas or the West, they kind of just see education and career after graduation as like the biggest thing. So they think that working hard in school is what will get you there. And they don't really pay mind to working while you're in school, because they think that school is the bigger priority. And if they can just sacrifice their life a little bit more and provide for you while you study and do your work, I think that's what they encourage. Because that's what I grew up around, and it's crazy how big that is in South Asian culture, I feel like. Although there are people like you and I who have had to work, or like not have had to work, but like worked anyway.
Oh man, I got a lot to say about that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll we'll go more into that a little bit into the episode. But I think a good place for us to start in this episode is to just kind of talk about what our parents did pretty briefly. So I'll go first.
You can go first.
Well, my parents, before I was born, my parents were pretty cool people. You know?
They still are cool people. I don't know what you're talking about.
I guess, but they were especially cool. Get a little overview. My dad opened up the first coffee shop in Dhaka, Bangladesh, with a couple of his homies.
I love how you pronounce Dhaka.
Listen, we're not doing this. All right?
Dhaka. Let's say it together. Dhaka.
Right. Yeah, you could just say it for me.
Dhaka.
I'm a continue.
Dhaka, Bangladesh.
So my dad opened the first coffee shop there, and my mom told me that, so my mom used to be a flight attendant, and she told me today that out of like 30,000 applicants, like women Bangladeshi applicants, they only like moved forward with like 40 of them.
Yeah, and she told me that too. That's crazy.
Yeah, and I think from that 40, they only like move forward even more with like 25 of them. And like she was in that group of like 25 or something.
And you guys got to know that this is a big deal, especially in Bangladesh during that time, because women were not even expected to work while they were still in school or work in general.
She was 19, a 19-year-old Bangladeshi girl in the 80s.
It's progressive crazy. Woman.
Yeah, but yeah, my parents were pretty cool people. They still are cool people, but when they moved over here, my dad just started doing, stuff in, like, the business realm, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom for maybe, like, the beginning half, and then she started helping out my dad more, and she kind of had to balance out being at home, and, helping out my dad and his business, and things were, like, up and down my whole life. I think, maybe, like, the first 10 years, things were, like, solid. Like, my dad was making, like, good money, blah, blah, blah. Or, like, so I lived in New York for a couple years. And in those couple years, things were not super great. Because my parents were still trying to figure out, like, they just moved to, like, America. So things were not super hot then. But we moved down to Florida. Then things were pretty good. Then things went down a little bit. They went back up a little bit. Then they kind of plummeted. And during like the time I was in high school, things were not really hot. Things were not super hot back then. But it's been a roller coaster ride the whole time. But all in all, like despite what they did, my parents always worked like really, really hard. And at the time when I was like 13, 14, 15, I really took that for granted. Like I did not recognize what it is that they were doing. I just have so many memories of, like, my parents just being tired, and I'm just mad, like, why are you tired, like, talk to me, like, I used to love playing chess with my dad, and there would be some nights where, like, he wouldn't want to play with me, and I related him not wanting to play with me to, like, just him not liking me, but it was just because he worked all day, and, like, just didn't want to play chess, you know, like, you just don't want to.
Why do you think that your mom didn't work in the beginning years of your life? Like, do you think it's because she just wanted to stay at home to spend more time with the kids?
Yeah, like, yeah, she needed to take care of the kids. I mean, yeah, that's pretty much it. She wanted, like, me and my sister to grow up straight and to, you know, not
that's
have anything.
A huge sacrifice, too.
Especially my mom, because, like, my mom is a workaholic. I mean, I say workaholic, like, obviously being a mother is still, like, the hardest job in the world. But my mom is, like, extremely independent, like, back then. Like, so it was a big sacrifice for her in, like, multiple ways. Like, because, like, her, like, personally, like, she wanted to, like, go out and, like, work and stuff. But she couldn't because, you know, she had to take care of us. And then, so, yeah, like, when things got pretty bad, like business-wise, my mom had to help out my dad more, and so she couldn't really give us as much time, but it's okay. I mean, we turned out good, but But yeah, at the time, things were pretty rough. But all in all, like, despite all that, my parents worked their ass off. And that has had, like, the biggest effect on me. And to this day, like, I feel like I'm wasting time if I'm not doing something productive, you know?
Yeah, I feel like we always have to keep going because they never took a break or rest, you know? Yeah. Like, I can't remember the last time that we took a vacation.
Ah, man. Yeah. We'll get into that.
Yeah. But so did you understand their sacrifices in high school?
No. I was very, like, inconsiderate in high school. Mm-hmm. I was very inconsiderate. I think we're all very naive back then. Yeah, in high school, like, because I was going through my own kind of, like, dilemma in that. So, like, during high school, I was very, like, focused on figuring myself out. Because I was going through this phase where, like, not phase, but I was going through this transition where I realized that, you know, I'm good at writing. I'm good at these miscellaneous things that are, you know, unspoken about in our heritage. And just having to balance out giving that enough time, but still trying to pass high school. And, like, I was just, like, in my own world to where, like, I really didn't care to see what it is that they were doing, you know? Like, mm-hmm. I remember back then, like, I mentioned this in a previous episode where, like, I couldn't stay after school for, like, after school tutoring or whatever, like, any club. Because, like, I took the bus back home and we lived, like, 20 minutes away. And my parents were always working, like, after school. Like, you know, I never had, like, anybody to really pick me up. That's
crazy because I feel like there's the other end of the stick where people double up on all of their extracurriculars because they know that no one's going to be at home. So I might as well stay after school longer and just, you know, spend time at school.
I mean, I guess it's a combination of, you know, I wanted to just not be at school anymore. Like, I just wanted to be in bed and just be, like, at home. Not necessarily, like, at home, but I hated school, you know, back then. But but yeah, regardless, my whole point is I know they worked their ass off, but it didn't hit me until, you know, my dad went back to Bangladesh and I really, really had to start working back then. But yeah, we'll get more into that. But before I start talking more, do you want to talk a little bit about, you know, what your parents did growing up?
Yeah. So just like your mom, my mom was also very progressive.
She's an actress.
She is an actress currently. She's
an actress and a poet.
She is a poet as well, a writer. She's all these things. She also had an English degree in Bangladesh. She came here and she actually attended the same college that I do right now. And she was studying to become, she was studying to finish her English degree. But then she got pregnant with me. Sorry, I ruined it all. But
how old was your mom when she got married?
I think 22 or 23. She was actually our age.
My mom was the same.
Pretty young.
It's the same.
But, yeah, back at home, it's crazy how similar we are. Like, she literally used to go to protests in university. She's so patriotic. Like, she's very out there. And also, she's the first daughter out of 5 older brothers. And so, she's kind of, like, the chosen daughter in the family. You know, everyone loves her. She has, like, all these older brothers. And her parents are doctors, teachers and headmasters. So, she's, like, very, you know, sheltered. So she grew up in a very respected family. And because of that, I feel like expectations were very high for me, which is also expected considering I'm born in America. She was born in Bangladesh. So it's like, you know, you should have a better life and education because I was born with more opportunities. My dad, on the other hand, his childhood, I feel like with all dads, it's kind of hard to know their childhood because they don't really open up as much. So I don't really know too much about his. But I do know that he came here in the early 90s and he started off as a taxi driver and he still is currently. But right now he's on break because of COVID. But he's been working so freaking hard the past 30 years. And like what you said, I was kind of on like the well-off side in the beginning, but then things got hard and, you know, we're not as well-off anymore. And also my mom was a stay-at-home mom in the beginning as well. For my brother and I, she did not work for like 16 years until we got into high school. And that's when she felt that we were, you know, ready to kind of live on our own. Not live on our own, but do everything on our own. And so she started working two jobs. She went back to school for something with help. And it's crazy. Like, she friggin' had two jobs. She came back home and started cooking. Like, it's shit that we took for granted, you know? We just expected food to be on the table. We expected her to come home after two working jobs, and like we just kind of like didn't really acknowledge it. Like, that's a lot of shit. Like, I can't even imagine doing that right now. Like, I did that before and I know how hard it was, but like her extent is so much more, you know? So it's like these things I didn't even acknowledge when I was in high school. I was so freaking ungrateful. Even with my dad, like, he literally would wake up before sunrise and then come home after sunset with this taxi job, right? But like, at that time, since I was surrounded by so many friends and people in my community, because, you know, I am in like a better education-wise area, like how I mentioned in my other episodes, I was like, why the hell is my dad not like an engineer or a doctor like everyone else, right? And it's like, I don't mean to be embarrassed, but when you're young, that's like the only thing you can think of. Like, you think of your status. You think of like why can't I be like everyone else, you know? But at the end of the day, my dad is honestly working harder than everyone else. Like, not to shit on everyone else's life, but like, your dad is not freaking waking up before sunrise, coming home after sunset, breaking his back, breaking his mental health, doing all this shit. And I'm just so much more appreciative of him now. Like, if you follow my Instagram page, you know, Labyrinth Dev, you guys have seen all of my art posts about my parents. And, you know, it really just took the quarantine and just my adult years to realize how much they did and really appreciate it all.
That's still my favorite piece that you've done. You gotta do more stuff like that.
There's a piece that I made on my art page, if you guys follow me, where it's of a little girl looking sad. And there's a clock behind her, and it's nighttime. And on the top, it says, Abu, when are you coming home? Mm-hmm. And it kind of just depicts me always waiting for him to come home. Because at one point in high school and college, like, I really barely even saw him. Because sometimes he would come home so late, like, I would already be sleeping. Or when he did come home, I'd only see him for, like, an hour or not even. Because he'd end up going to sleep or eating and just going to sleep and repeating the same day over and over, you know? Like, no one should be living like that. So it obviously affected him and affected my parents. It affected all of us. Like, it's a whole cycle, obviously, when the way your parents work and how your childhood is. So yeah, I'm so much more grateful now for all of the shit that my parents have done to really just put food on the table and really just not make us worry about money ever, even though we were not as well off as everyone else.
Like, I feel like I knew a lot of kids growing up who their parents were working their ass off. And, like, not only were they working their ass off, but they were telling their kids that, like, oh, like, you don't have to work. Like, you... I have somebody in my head that I'm talking about, but, like, I'm not going to drop their name. But, like, their parents were very hard workers. And they were told that, like, you don't have to, like, start working yet. Just, like, focus on school. Because, like, we'll take care of you until, like, you graduate. Yeah. And, like, I just think, like, it's so powerful for, like, a parent to, like, not, like, to be struggling that much, but to also have, like, the power to say, like, oh, like I'll still take care of you until you're, like, 22. You know?
Yeah, it's crazy how, like, even with me being 23 right now and making, you know, a good amount of money, or, like, not just more money than they have ever imagined, they still don't want me to pay bills. They still don't want me to help out, even though I can, and even though I offer all the time. They still want me to use that money to myself, save it up for my future, and just build myself up more. And it's just crazy how, like, they really just give everything and just sacrifice everything for us to just continuously, like, succeed.
I think my mom started taking me more serious when she saw that, like, I'm capable of paying bills, you know? Like, even though, like, she was pushing me to, like, not to, but, like, I was pushing back and telling her, like, yo, like, let me, let me pay for it. Like, I'll, yeah, like it's fine, too. You know? Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's a really big moment in like, our parents' lives where, like, because, like, I was talking about my mom today, how, like, you know, like, all of our parents want us to be, like, doctor, engineer, this, that, whatever. But I think, like, deeper than that, I think they just want us to show that, like, we're capable of, like, paying, like, taking care of them financially, you know? Mm-hmm. Whatever it may be, like, I understand to... There's a like a notoriety in saying like your kid's a doctor or whatever. Yeah. But I think like, cause for example, my family friend, he just graduated and he's a teacher now, right? He teaches fifth grade, teaches
Love my fellow elementary school teachers.
Right. His name is Mr. Buya. All the kids love his name. His last name is Buya.
Love him.
So everybody, all the kids love saying his name.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, he was telling me, he was, like, you know, he's not the typical... Because, like, his brother, like, works in a lab. Like, he has a master's in biology. Like, right. He's like that. So, like, he was telling me that, like, his mom, like, talked down on, like, him being a teacher. But, like, once she started seeing that, like, you make good money and, like, you can buy me stuff, she's happy now, you know? So I think, like...
I mean, it's more than that. I don't even think it's just, like... buying stuff. I think she's more comfortable. I think she's more comfortable with the job now because, like, she sees that his son is, like, happy with the job, first of all, because parents care about their children's happiness at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And he's able to provide for himself and for her. Like, no matter what job they have, parents just want you to be secure, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so that was my point.
Yeah.
That was my point. So... moving on from my little story, I think the second point that we want to talk about a little bit is you know, how watching our parents work their ass off affected us, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, I'm not saying that, like, we're, like, two unusual circumstances and that, like, we both start working early, but I feel like it's, like, 50-50, like,
yeah.
half of brown kids start working early and half of brown kids just kind of don't
fall
care
down
to
daddy's money.
Yeah, man. Yeah. But so how did our work
and also ethic... we're not coming at you to, like, I think it's a very big blessing if you have things handed to you, like if you have a car given to you at 16, if you have, like, a roof over your head, if you have all these beautiful things. We're not saying that. We're not, like, coming at you saying, like, oh, you should work for those things. Like, your parents should not be giving you, like, those things. Like, I think it's a very nice thing to know that your parents are well off and they can afford to give you these things. I think we're just trying to make the point that you should have that intent to work earlier. Not even to just help them out, just so you can... Not even to just help them out, but to just get experience and to... you know, have that work ethic from a younger age.
All right, well, like, you might not be coming at them, but I will. Because I don't want the excuse of you're focusing on school, blah, blah, blah. Because here's why. I feel like to get my point across on this topic well, I have to give a little background to, like, what I've done, right? Mm-hmm. So, talking about how my work ethic formed. So, I can talk all about when I was, like, 10, 11, 12, 13, like, I was, like, I've been all about my money since I was, like, a kid, right? Like, I remember I would go to my neighbor's houses and ask them to mow their lawns, and I would ask my dad to take me to his gas station.
That's so crazy. My Facebook username used to be XOXO Mow Money.
you could have left that out. Like, this podcast would have been great. It would have been better if you didn't say that.
No, we're all about the money from a young
age. So I'm a continue. So here's why I think you should always be working. Despite you're focusing on school, you're focusing on your mental health, whatever your excuse for not working is a bad excuse.
He's about to come out of your life right now. I can see
here's
it
why.
His face.
Here's why, right? When I was 19, I started working at a coffee shop across from town, a very gentrified, rich, white area. This is where all the doctors live, where all, like, the lawyers lived. all that stuff. I started working at this coffee shop, and I met a bunch of people who were the opposite of me. Just very, like, prim and proper people, very white people, and just people I was not used to, right? But I had to adapt to that situation. And instead of changing who I was, I just, like, completely expanded, right? Like, I just brought in all of this knowledge and wisdom that was being shown around me, and I learned all of these new skills, right? And in that job, I realized, well, I've always known this, but in that job, I realized, like, I'm really good at just talking to people, right? I'm really good at just having a conversation with people, and I'm good at talking to absolutely anybody, because, you know, this was the first time where I was introduced to a subset of people that were the opposite of me, and I was like, oh, like, even though you're really different than me, I can still talk to you. One day, this guy comes in, he asked me what I'm majoring in school, I told him marketing, and he just asked me if I wanted to be his intern, and I was like, oh, sure, why not, you know? But, like, he asked me because, like, he just liked talking to me. Start interning for him, start working part-time for him. Then from him, I met his friend who owns a digital marketing agency. I started talking to him, and he liked me. And then he wanted me to intern for him. I started interning for him. I worked part-time for him. And then he introduced me to the hiring agency of the company I'm working for now. I talked to the hiring agent. She really liked me. And, like, this, like, at this time, I was 21. And a 21-year-old working at, like, this type of company is unheard of, right? Blah, blah. I have a phone interview. They give me an in-person interview. In the in-person interview, I had three people interview me. Two of them did not really like me. They thought I was just young, inexperienced, naive, which is all true. But one of the people that interviewed me, which was my manager, she loved me. And she convinced the other two people to hire me, and I got hired, and I became the youngest employee to ever work at this company, you know? I say that all to say, I got here, like, without any schooling, without no schooling. I don't have a degree. I still to this day have a little bit to go. And, like, that wasn't luck either. Like, I didn't get lucky.
So, where do you think your work ethic came from?
I mean, it just came from seeing my dad, like you, like, leave at 5:30 in the morning to go open his gas station, and then would come at 3 p.m. to eat, and then would leave again, and then would come back at 10 p.m. And just seeing that every day. And, you know, like, I brushed over this previously, but my dad moved back to Bangladesh when I was 18, and I had to just boss up, and I had to be the man of the house, and I had to start paying for more stuff. You know, my mom had to start working again. She started working at Macy's. My sister was, like, on the verge of, like, moving out to Atlanta, and I didn't really have a choice to work or not. I had to.
You had to grow.
And for that, I had to, slow down in school a little bit. But it was a combination of, like, seeing my parents work their ass off, and also, like, I was just forced into that situation. And my whole point of saying everything that I said is, like, you know, I wouldn't have gotten to where I am now if I didn't start working in, like, the service industry when I was 19 at a coffee shop just making coffee for people.
Yeah, honestly, I really want to get into another episode on just jobs in general and what kind of jobs South Asians are expected to have even from an early age, because first of all, like, we in our neighborhood, we were not expected to work at a coffee shop that was very looked down upon. So I really want to get into a different episode for that. But I know both of us, we feel really guilty when we relax and we're wasting time. So, like, why do you think that is?
I think personally, I just have too much I want to accomplish in my life to have free time. My number one reason is because I have way too many dreams and aspirations to fulfill for me to just sit around and watch Netflix. And then I think after that is, you know, it's a disservice to my parents. I think I've proven myself already to, like, my mom that I'm a hard worker. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if I were to spend the rest of my life just moderately working and having a solid balance of working and free time, my mom would understand that, because, like, my mom knows how much I've worked on myself.
Right.
I think personally, it's because I have 20,000 different things that I want to do in my life. Mm-hmm. And more specifically, I have a bunch of things that I want to do like in the next 5 years of my life.
But I also feel like it's kind of toxic because both you and I literally cannot sit still and always have to be doing something. We feel guilty when we're watching like movies and Netflix. Like, you know how people try like, you know, chillaxing a little bit, laying back, watching a little movie. I don't know. I feel like there's also like a toxic hustle culture. Like I always feel like we're running out of time, but also like, why am I not in the present enjoying it and being young as we're young?
I don't know. Like, I'm not saying like you always have to be working, but I think you always have to be like building yourself. Mm-hmm. You always have to be expanding, whether it's reading a book, whether it's like spending your night just watching something educational instead of Gossip Girl, you know, instead of
Gossip Girl was a good show.
The Bachelor.
It's a god show.
You watched The Bachelor?
I watched The Bachelor.
Never mind.
A long time ago.
But yeah, that's I don't know. But how do you feel? I mean, I know that you're the same way. Like, why are you always working?
Well, I'm always working because of also my parents. I feel like I have a duty. I'm also the first daughter of the family. I feel like I have a duty to give back to my parents for all the work that they did. Honestly, like what I said, my parents did not want me working or like didn't need me working from a young age. But I started working since 15. Mm-hmm. I literally went into the nurse's office at school. I was like, give me my working papers right now because I'm going to be working. Because, you know, you have to technically be working. Like, you can start working at 16, but you have to have working papers if you're 15. So, like, give me
that. What are working papers?
To make you eligible to work.
At 15?
Yeah. Because I think 15 is too young to actually work. So I had to get those working papers. I
didn't know that was a thing.
And I started working right away, you know. And honestly, like, obviously, when I'm 15, I'm not giving that money to my parents. I don't even know that freaking concept. Because even at that time, I was ungrateful. I didn't understand exactly what they were doing. But at that point, I knew that I had to get my own money. So that way, it was one less burden for them. You know, I was using that money to spend it on myself. So they didn't have to worry about, like, oh, let me give her money for concert tickets. Let me give her money to go out. Like, you know, I didn't ask them for money for anything, really. Like, obviously, food and bills and everything that they paid for. But, like, the extra money that kids usually ask their parents for, I didn't ask them for any of that. Mm-hmm. Because I knew that I had to do my part somehow, you know? And since then, it's been, what, 7, 8 years already? I've been working nonstop, and I still don't ask them for any money. The only time I ask my dad for money is when I have to get my eyebrows done, and he gives me $7 exactly because I don't carry cash on me. And I need like, dollars, you know, to get tips and stuff. But that's the only time I ask for money. And, yeah, so since then, I've been working my ass off. Like, I feel like I am. I'm doing, like, freaking 5 million things at once. My brother literally asked me the other day. He was like, you're freaking making art. You have a business. You're doing a podcast. You're making YouTube. You're in grad school. Mm-hmm. And all this shit. He was like, how are you doing all of these things at once? And also, you're running yourself thin. Like, you're doing so much to the point where it's like you're not going to have interest in any of these things anymore because you're dedicating 5-6 parts of your body to like 6 different things when you can just like dedicate 2 parts to like 2 things, you know? And in my head, I mean, I told him, I was like, no, I'm going to do everything because I know I'm capable of it. Like, everyone's freaking capable of doing all of it. And it's also like, gotta get my bread up, you know? Mm-hmm. Gotta get, like, my work ethic stronger. Gotta just do everything while I can, while I have that passion. Because even you mentioned in, like, the previous episode that, like, while you still have that energy to, like, do a passion, you might as well do it when you're thinking about it instead of waiting when the passion's gone, you know? So I might as well, like, I hate waiting around. Oh, my God, my biggest pet peeve is, like, literally thinking about doing something and then just waiting to do it later or, like, just not doing it. And then someone else doing it. Oh, my God, that freaking boils my blood when I see someone else doing something that I want to do. So I just, like, do everything before anyone else can do it or, like, you know, anyone else that I know.
So how do you feel about what he said?
I mean, I understand what he means by that because I honestly, like, from an outside perspective, I am doing a lot, not to, like, toot my own horn or anything. And like, it is very tiring. Like, Mashun knows how much I freaking complain about it sometimes because it is just so overwhelming sometimes. And my biggest reason to be doing all of this is to just one day provide for my parents, you know? Like, I cannot stand the idea of just feeling like a failure and not just contributing to their life someday. So I think that's like the biggest reason why I keep going. It's also kind of toxic, like what I said, like I never take a break and I always feel like I have to constantly work. But I don't know, I just feel like I rather be spending my time doing something like this instead of just sitting around doing nothing and just not helping them in any way. Like, I have so many people that I know that just like sit around in bed, and I get that. Like, if you're depressed, like, I get you sitting around in bed because you have no will to do anything, but like, what are you doing? You know, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, don't get me started on that. I mean, that's my biggest pet peeve, especially like the kids who have like the parents who are still working like boo-boo jobs and like are like clawing to get by, and like you're just here just laying down scrolling through TikTok mm-hmm. all day. Like, you know, it pisses me off. It really does. Yeah.
How do you feel about parents telling their kids to not work and just focus on school?
I was having this conversation with my mom today where it's like, you can push your kids to do well academically, but we live in a time and age where unless you're going down a very specific role, being the medical, being the whatever, there is so much more available in the world in terms of like career choices mm-hmm. that like the skills are not taught in school for. Like, again, like I don't want to go back to myself, but I feel like I'm a great example, and my sister at the same time. Like, my sister had a very similar story where like her old boss met her at a coffee shop and hired her just like that.
It's all about networking.
Exactly. It's just talking to people and working like a service industry job, being like a waiter or a waitress or something. I feel like I'm glad because I feel like we're getting to a place like that's a lot more normalized and like it's not as looked down upon, I guess, depending on the area. Yeah. At least around here and the people that I have around me, it's a little bit normal. But I had a really good talk with my mom today, actually, where, like, I got her to understand, like, careers are, a solid career is built on a combination of, like, solid academics combined with, like, just doing what you're good at. Like, my little cousin, who's a junior in high school, like, he's really into, like, technology. And he's really into, like, programming and tech and stuff like that. And his parents keep pushing him academically, but I keep telling him, like, yo, like, keep doing what you like to do, keep doing good in school, but do what you like to do, go out and meet people, make as many networks and connections as you can, because that's how you're gonna be successful in this world.
Yeah, like, literally, my mom sent a Facebook video in our group chat with me and my brother today, telling us to watch this Bengali man telling us how to make a successful cover letter. And she was like, yeah, like, I'm not really worried about you like talking about me, because I've been making cover letters since freaking high school. But my brother, on the other hand, has never made a cover letter. He's 2 years younger than me. He's never had a job. And it's crazy because, like, you know, being in the same family, I would expect him to have that same work ethic as me. I mean, now he's getting better at it, but he's never had a job, whereas I've had like 6-7 already. And the video was talking about how every single semester you're supposed to update your cover letter and write new experiences and new things that you learned from your jobs and school, whatever it is. And I can't imagine people not having any experience or anything to write on a cover letter, or like in general.
The thing is, like, all of that's gonna come back to him. I think the last couple of years, he's been just going through the motions, and, you know, he should be better and he should be more up your alley. But I also think that, like, it is going to come back around, and like, shit's going to hit him in the face, and he's going to realize, he's going to get mad at himself.
Like, honestly, now you literally cannot get a job without experience. And people are like, oh my God, why are all these jobs asking for 5 years of experience, 2 years of experience? Which I get, like, some jobs you can't have that job unless you have something in the similar field with experience. But, like, really? You just need experience with just, like, working with people, working in a community, being able to talk to people. And it's just, like, they don't teach you that in school, you know? I don't understand why, what, like, I think what we're trying to get at is that, like, parents coming from another country don't understand that aspect. Like, your mom understood it today, but a lot of parents don't.
Like, they just need someone to show them that it's possible, you know? Like, and, like, I'm glad that, like, me and my sister can be, like, those, like, highlights in, like, the community around me and showing that, mm-hmm. like, and showing, like, different adults in this community that, like, it's possible to be successful in other ways, you know,
mm-hmm.
without the degree, like, by working these service jobs. Like, it's very possible. Like, they just need to see it be done. It, like, right. you can tell them, like, oh, like, I can tell them all these things, but it's completely different in sitting them down and telling them how I did it, like, and how, like, I'm a living, breathing example of it, you know? So I was telling, like, my mom tells me, like, it's not that, like, they don't accept it. It's just, like, they don't get it. I think my whole point in, like, this podcast in general is to, like, just express the importance of just, like, grabbing them by the hand and just guiding throughout all of this. Like,
I mean, it's also to show just, like, how different things are. Not even different, but, like, how things change as you move on with life. Because, obviously, back home, your success was kind of determined from your grades. I don't think you mm-hmm. needed a job to have experience and then get a better job, you know? Like, back then, I know, like, my mom and, like, her brothers, like, my uncles and my aunts, like, they were held in a higher status because of their grades. They would get scholarships. Mm-hmm. Based on their scholarships, they would get more opportunities, you know? So I guess they're just passing that knowledge on to us because that's all they know, which I get.
So I hung out with like, my family friend yesterday who, he has a master's in biology and, you know, he's studying to be in PA school. So, like, he went down, like, the medical route, right? And even he told me that he had so much trouble finding a job after he got his master's. And you know how he got his job? Like, he works at a lab now. Like, you know how he got it? He was sitting at Starbucks and one of his old friends walked in and literally just asked him, like, yo, like, the lab I work at needs a job. Or, needs somebody. Like, do you want to work? And he's like, yeah, sure. So, like, even in the, like, those traditional fields, it, like, this is how it's going now. Mm-hmm. Like, he's been trying, and he has so many friends who have PhDs who are still having trouble finding a job.
Yeah.
Like, he got lucky because his friend just walked into Starbucks when he was just sitting at Starbucks and asked him if he wanted, like, it's not even, like, this brand new field of work that we're doing where it's important. Yeah. Like, it's everything. It's even the medical field where you mm-hmm. need to just talk to people and have connections, you know?
Yeah.
But I think something I want to ask you is, like, since you have two cousins who are, what, 8 and 12?
8 and 10.
8 and 10, sorry. Are you going to push them to start working early and stuff?
Oh, yeah. I think kids now in this generation, they're so freaking obsessed with, like, their games and computers and the digital world. And I'm for sure going to tell them that. I even told them the other day, I was like, grades at the end of the day don't matter. And I know that's, like, such a big taboo thing you should not be telling kids. But I think what I want to implement is that as long as you try hard, that's the most important thing. And that you should just, like, be grateful with all of the things that you have. I was literally telling them, like, everything that we complain about are very big privileges at the end of the day, and that I'm trying to plant the seed that our life is a lot greater than other people's lives because our complaints at the end of the day are not that big. And also, our whole life should not be based on just grades and numbers and all those numbers and measures of success. So I'm definitely going to be, I'm really going to be implementing this into their heads. They look up to me so much, and I'm going to be drilling it in their heads.
Oh.
Yeah. So we want to move on to some of the responses that we got on our Instagram. You know, we always open up our topics to our Instagram followers because we love you guys.
We do. So if you guys aren't if you guys aren't already following us, a Difficult Dish on Instagram, Difficult Dish Just like that. We're cool like that. We got the name on podcast.
This man says the same thing every single episode.
But hey, come anyway, on. All right.
I know a lot of people shared their stories about why their work ethic is so great and what their parents did, and we really loved reading it. It was so amazing.
Yeah, we got a lot of long ones in this one.
So someone wrote how she just got her first engineering internship this year. Congrats to you. And she is making 3 to 4 times the amount that her parents have ever made because her parents have always worked minimum wage jobs. Mm-hmm. And she just feels very guilty to be making this much money while also exerting much less energy as they did. And she also feels kind of resentful towards her parents because she feels like they should have gotten better jobs when she was younger. Why did they try harder? So what do you have to say about that?
That's crazy. I mean, I didn't read that response before, like, going into mm-hmm. here, but that's, I mean, you know, I relate to that. I think me and my sister both make more than our parents did, and I think it's a very uneasy feeling, like, because I feel like once you start making more than your parents, then you start thinking, like, damn, like, how are they raising me when they were making half this amount? Because, like, you know, now that you're making that amount, and, like, you start paying for bills and you start paying for groceries and you like, you see it in your bank account, you know, like, how much you're spending on these things, you start thinking, like, how are my parents doing it, you know?
And they did.
And then you realize, like, they were barely doing it, you know? Like, it was not, like, I feel like growing up, like, we think our parents have, like, superpowers, and, like, mm-hmm. even, like, the concept of, like, running out of money is not, like, conceptualized until you get older and you start making more than, like, them. You start realizing.
You know, when your parents are like, no, you can't get food from outside. We got food at home. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I want food right now. Now I understand that. Yep. We got food at home.
No. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I don't really have a way to help you feel better about that situation, but I think all we can do is just to, like, feel like, I understand the uneasiness, but from now on, it's just, you just gotta show your gratitude, you just gotta show your appreciation. And I think, like, apart from the, like, financial side, I think obviously, like, our parents want us to, like, be straight, like, they want us to be good money wise but also, like, I feel like something that you can start doing more is, like, you know, start, like, cooking for them, you know, start, like, cleaning their bathroom or something. Like, these are the things that, like, we also forget that is a lot of work, you know? Like, now that I moved out, like, I realized I have to broom every 3 days. And you think, like, you didn't have to broom your house growing up. I mean, I'm pretty sure most of us didn't broom our homes growing up. Mm-hmm. And we didn't do it because, like, our parents did it, like, behind our backs, and you know, so.
And also the aspect of you feeling resentment towards them because you're not sure why they didn't try harder to get better jobs. I honestly don't think that they had that option. I think I responded to this reply, and I did say that they probably didn't have the option, and they're also very scared of trying something new. If you're an immigrant coming from a different country, you probably aren't even aware that there are different options, and with what you're comfortable with, you're probably not going to try to go beyond that because you're already like a foreigner in this country and you're already doing what you can to provide for your family. So you're not going to, like, try to get a degree in something different. You're not going to try to go out of your way to do something different. So I get that.
Moving across the world is enough change, you know. Yeah. Asking them to get another job is just, they just don't want to do that.
Mm-hmm. And then again they did give us, like, going back to this, they did give us the opportunity for us to change our careers free if we ever want to, like, if we don't like something, we can change it whenever we want. So I think it just comes back full circle, and everything that they did is for us, and we just have to give back to them, you know.
Yeah.
So another one that we saw, a reply said that, I took after my work ethic and started working early so that they didn't have to work hard. My mom used her job as an escape from problems she had. She kept busy to avoid dealing with emotions.
Mm.
Yeah, I can completely agree with this. I know that my mom started working a lot more just so she didn't have to deal with her own trauma. And I think parents find a lot of comfort in just, like, obviously they do complain about how hard working is, but I think they have some comfort in working on something that doesn't involve their kids and just involves their own energy on something separate from them, separate from home. And I think it also is a distraction from their lives, which I understand.
I think being able to do that in itself is very powerful, because, like, I think about at the time when things were rough in my family, and, like, the thing that my mom needed was to do that. Like, my mom needed to get a job and to separate herself. But I think she was just so scared to, like, you know, like, leave, like, me and my sister to, like, fend for ourselves that, like, even though, like, we would have been good if my mom separated herself for a little bit, but I think it's very powerful for a mother to, like, take her life into her own hands like that. Even if, like, you know, the way that it was described in that response was, you know, because she was going through something. But I think it's, there's always just so much praise that we can give our parents for being so strong, you know?
Yeah.
But I commend you for working early. You know, we like those.
We like those. You know how I feel about that.
I remember I used to go to the Burlington in front of my neighborhood with some of the homies. We would go into the corner and we would put some Nike dry fit socks onto our feet, and then we'd walk right out, go to school the next day, get in the locker room, start selling them. Yo, you want some socks?
You're putting this on record. I can put you in jail for this one.
Hey, well, come on, they're like $5 socks. Come on. All right, so one more. What we got?
So someone sent in a response saying that her parents were both factory workers and they always wanted her to have a job that didn't have too much physical labor, and they wanted her to do an office job. And they also wanted her to strictly focus on academics, so they didn't want her to work. But once she started going to college, she started juggling three jobs because she wanted to be financially independent and reduce the financial burden on them. And also she said, we're the first podcast that she's been consistent with, and she tells her friends, so thank you so much.
Oh,
thank you so much. But anyways, yeah, what do you have to say about that?
Shout out to you, first of all. We love those three jobbers. I've been there. I've done that. Three jobbers. I think my father worked a very high physical labor, and your father did too. So we can relate to that. And I think, like, I don't know. I think to these responses, I don't have anything else to say other than, like, you're like, I get it. And really shout out to you for trying so hard to be financially independent, because I did the same thing. And that's so powerful. And even if, you know, your parents still get in arguments with you, like, whatever is still going on at home, just know that, like, they recognize, at least I would like to think that they recognize how hard you work. And, like, there's going to be a time in your life where, like, you and your parents are going to be such a solace because they understand, like, how much work you've put in, you know? I think it'll all come back around.
I've definitely been in that same position where I had to juggle full-time jobs, multiple jobs, while taking so many freaking classes. And I know how hard that shit is for anyone. So if you didn't hear it recently, I am very proud of you for doing that. It is very hard to do it. And the fact that you're going out of your way to do it on your own without anyone having to tell you to do it is really powerful and big. So I am very proud of you. Also, it's very nice to see that you're working this hard to make it easier for your parents.
Mm-hmm.
So I know for a fact it's going to pay off at the end. Just wait on it.
Shout out to you. We love those.
Yeah. So before we end, do you want to do a little 10-second advice?
All right. Are we going to make it 10 seconds this time? I don't know. You always go for a nice 120-seconder. Are we keeping it 10 seconds?
I'll keep it 10.
All right. All right. Hold on. I'm thinking. All right. I got one. Not really advice, but just, like, something that I wish more people did is, like, just
tick tock.
Just, like, the next time you go to a restaurant or a coffee shop or something service industry related, take the time to be nice and to befriend the person that's helping you. because you have no idea the amount of connections you can make from just talking to people.
Right.
Like, especially in this growing world, it's all about just talking to people. It's all about meeting people. And you can learn anything and gain anything from absolutely anybody. I don't care who it is.
That was so good, but unfortunately it was not 10 seconds.
All right, that was 20 seconds. Go ahead. I'm done. Talk to people. Like, talk to people. Just be a nice person and befriend people. There you go.
All right. I saw this thing on TikTok that I really liked. It was just saying how we're always waiting for the next thing. You know, I can't wait to graduate. I can't wait to move out. But we kind of forget that we're in the present right now, and we're constantly chasing something that's in the future without realizing that we're, like, not realizing what we're dealing with right now, you know? We're literally just, like, constantly thinking about the past and wishing for the future without realizing that we're having such a good, maybe not, but, like, having a good moment in our lives currently, not enjoying the time. And then later on, we're going to be, like, thinking about the past again, you know? So what I'm trying to say is enjoy the present. I'm very bad at this. Stay in the moment. Enjoy the present. Boom. Mic drop.
Yeah, so you know how you just got mad at me for not making it 10 seconds? Like, you remember that? It was, like, a couple minutes ago.
Mine was also 10 seconds.
Oh. All right, thank you guys for listening to our podcast, Difficult Dish. You can follow us on Instagram at Difficult Dish. We hope you guys enjoyed our episode about work and work ethic. If there's any specific topics you guys want to hear us talk about, let us know through the Instagram DMs. But
please leave us a review, give us a 5. Make us look good. Give us some love. We love reading it.
Yeah, we got all 5 stars so far on Apple Podcasts. Keep
Don't
it up.
Ruin it.
Don't ruin it.
We love you guys.
Yeah. Love you guys. All right. Kudafis.